Acts chapter number 9, if you would take your Bibles and let's go there this evening. Acts chapter number 9. Tonight, I wanted to take some time, something that's been on my heart for a few weeks, and I'm praying that God would use this message tonight. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this, it takes more time figuring out what you're going to preach than anything else. And I think there's some truth to that. I think it does help a little bit as I'm journeying through the Bible, obviously on Sunday mornings especially, and we're in 1 Kings right now. And sometimes I read a chapter and another chapter, and I think, Lord, I'm going to need your help here. And I always need his help, and the Lord is so faithful to guide me and lead me in that way. Well, tonight, as we come to Acts chapter number 9, I want to begin in verse number 26, and I want to give you the context of what has happened or what is happening here in the New Testament church age. We know the Saul, who was an enemy of the Lord and an enemy of the church. In fact, the Christians were afraid of Saul. I mean, he was zealous in what he did. And of course, he was blinded, did not know the truth. We know that on the road to Damascus that Saul heard the Lord speak and saw the great light, and he placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But can you imagine what it was like for Saul now to show up and act like, obviously, that he had a heart for God? There was fear. They wondered, is this real or is this a trap that Saul is leading us into? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse number 26, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him." Well, can you imagine? Saul was killing Christians. Now they're going to kill him. Quite a statement. He is following the Lord. The Bible says in verse 30, "Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." I want you to notice verse number 31. I believe the very heart of what this is all about we find in a little word: they were edified. Edified. Would you circle or underline that word in your Bible? And this evening, I want to preach to you on this: the spirit of edification. The spirit of edification. How important is it that we need to be edified? Now, let's define the word. What does the word edify mean? The word literally means to build up. To build up. In fact, when the Lord Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 24 about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, the same Greek word that is used in Acts chapter 9 where it says they were edified is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 7 where the wise man built or edified his house upon the rock. And the disciples and the churches were edified. In fact, the Bible says they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and in the fear of the Lord. They were edified. They had rest because of edification. But can I show you a little secret in the Word of God? It started with a man by the name of Barnabas. Now, let me tell you something about Barnabas. Barnabas, his name, that's really a nickname. His real name is Joseph. In fact, they called him Barnabas. His name means son of the encourager. What a statement to give Barnabas. In fact, here is Saul. And Saul shows up. And Saul, can you imagine? It would somewhat be in the years gone by. For instance, when Adolf Hitler was obviously a madman. Can you imagine if someone had led him to Christ and he showed up in a church service somewhere? We all would be a little nervous, would we not? Well, that's the same idea with Saul. Saul is showing up and Saul is saying, hey, now I want to serve God. And everybody is saying, I don't believe you. I just don't think this is real. Maybe this is a trap. And maybe he's trying to find out who are all the servants of the Lord so he can kill us or maybe put us in jail, to say the least. But Barnabas, the Bible says something. And notice back in Acts chapter number 9 and verse 27. I love the comfort of this. But Barnabas took him. Now think about that just for a minute. I think in that instance, maybe Saul was a little discouraged. I've come to the people of God. I've come to the disciples. And maybe he is off to the side. They have left him, but Barnabas found him and took him. And the Bible says this, and brought him to the apostles. And it goes on to say, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You know what Barnabas did? He edified Saul, and he edified all of the churches, because he said, I will do my best to build up. Can I ask you something this evening? Within your heart and within your life, do you have a spirit of edification? A spirit of building up? Do you know the truth is, we all tonight, we are either building up other people or we are tearing them down. You know, I love to see construction take place. I just like it, you know. In fact, I love the smell of lumber, you know. Do you ever like to walk through Lowe's or Home Depot? Man, it just smells good in there, does it not? The tools smell good. Everything smells good. Maybe that's just a guy thing, you know. And, you know, I see all kinds of tools I probably never use, but I need them, you know. You know how that, how many guys understand that, all right? You know how that is. You might need them one time in your whole life, so might as well buy it. But anyway, I walk through Lowe's. Man, I love that. I love the smell of that. I love to see something built. Well, brethren, Barnabas was an encourager. He edified the church. He built one another up. In fact, God's word tells us a lot about edification. In fact, 12 times in the New Testament, we are told to love one another. In James chapter 5, we are told to pray for one another. In 1 Thessalonians, we'll get there, it uses the word edify one another. In Romans 12, God uses the terminology prefer one another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, use hospitality one to another. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to bear ye one another's burdens. In fact, do you know that God gives us spiritual gifts? You know that every one of us here tonight that name the name of Jesus Christ, you have spiritual gifts. They're given to you by God. And you know what God tells us about the spiritual gifts? You know what the purpose is? Let me tell you too. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and you know what the last thing is? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you know that one of the purposes of the very gifts that God has given us is to build people up? It's for not for ourselves, not to glory in ourselves, but it is to build others up. I know this past week on Monday and Tuesday, I told the church on Wednesday night that I was here Monday morning getting some things done, and then I drove quickly to Knoxville, and they had the Baptist Friends Conference there, and they were trying to get all the alumni pastors there. And so I decided I'd go down just for a couple of days and I'd see my folks just for a little bit of time. And but I was there. And, you know, being back in my home church, that's where I grew up. And people that have known me for a very long time. And, in fact, I met so many people again that, hey, Aaron, how's it going? You know, and they brought back things to my mind. And you know what they did when I was there? They edified me. They built me up. They encouraged me. In fact, they spoke about things that God had done in their lives and how God had worked. And it was just encouraging to be around them. Brethren, we ought to ask God to help us all to be men and women that edify one another. We build one another up. You know something? We live in a world today that is really selfish, is it not? In fact, in all of our hearts tonight, let us admit that we are selfish people. Years ago, I heard the story about a lady, and she was driving a big old Cadillac. And she had come into a shopping center, and she was an older lady, and she was having a hard time turning that Cadillac into a parking space. And so she had to back it way up, and as soon as she backed it up, some little young guy in a red sports car just zipped in around her and got in her parking space. And he kind of got out and kind of acted like, boy, I did just a good thing. And she rolled down her window and said, Sonny, why'd you do that? And he said, because I'm young and fast. And he just kind of laughed and walked into the store. Well, it wasn't just a couple minutes later. He heard the biggest ruckus he had ever heard in his life. It sounded like something was crashing in. And he looked out the window, and sure enough, there's that old lady in that really nice Cadillac, and she's ramming his sports car. And man, she's just destroying it. And he comes running out, waving his hands and saying, lady, stop, stop, stop. And I mean, his car is demolished. And she rolls down the window and he said, ma'am, why did you do that? She said, because I'm old and rich, you know. Well, let me tell you something. Just because we can't do something doesn't mean we should do it, you know. But is it not true that we live in a world that wants to get back at people? A world that seeks vengeance. A world that seeks a place to tear people down. And look here, let's be honest. You know how it is. Someone says something to you. Maybe even another Christian. Someone else in church. And we think of something, they tore us down and we want to tear them down. They hurt us with their words and we want to hurt them. We want to say something back. But brethren, tonight God has called His people to have the spirit of edification. Now take your Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter number 14. And tonight we're going to do just a little bit of a word study here. And we're going to look at all the places in the Bible where it uses the word edify, to build up. As you're turning to Romans chapter 14, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is coming? The day when Jesus Christ returns again. When the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Brethren, it should be the desire of every young person, of every man, of every woman, of every husband, father, every wife and mother, every teenager here, to have the spirit of edification about our life. The spirit of looking for ways to encourage and to build up other people. You know, I wonder, do we come to church with the thought, well, boy, I'm coming, I just need something. I don't care about anybody else. But wait a minute. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it says, we need to assemble together. But for what purpose? Exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. Lifting one another up. And by the way, let me say to you, the word edify means to build up. But the emphasis there is building them up in their faith in God. It is encouraging them to trust the Lord. When I was back at Knoxville, it reminded me of so many things. In fact, I remember, and I told this story just a little bit on Wednesday night. Some of you may not be in here, but Pastor Sexton's brother, Tom Sexton. And I've known him since I was a kid because he would come to the church all the time and see Pastor Sexton. We got to know him well, I was telling the church Wednesday that he was sitting behind me, and I was sitting with Bob and Teresa Gregory, my godparents growing up, very precious people to me. And while we're singing the song, Pastor Tom Sexton comes up and starts talking to me and asking me all kinds of things and kept doing that. And my wife was watching the service live stream, and she said, honey, it zeroed in on you all, and it showed everybody, you know. The whole world saw me talking, all right, during a service, you know. But can I tell you something? I can remember Tom Sexton encouraging me when I was a young person. I remember when I was a teenager that he encouraged me, Aaron, stay faithful. God's called you to preach. Don't quit. Don't give up. Can I tell you what he was doing? He was building me up. He was encouraging me. I remember the first time I went to go preach. Can I tell you something? It was the worst message you've ever heard in your whole life. I don't know why anybody ever sat there. But it was terrible. In fact, I preached lots of messages like that. But you know what? I remember people encouraging me and saying, Aaron, that was a blessing. And I knew it wasn't a blessing. I knew they were lying, but it was helping me, you know. And but can I tell you what they were doing? They were building me up. They were saying, Aaron, God has a plan for your life. God is going to use you, and you just stay faithful to God. Can I tell you what they were doing? Building my faith up. That there was a God in heaven, and there was a God in heaven who was working. And behind the scenes, you see, God has called us all to have the spirit of edification. Romans 14 and verse number 19, the Bible says this. Notice this verse. The Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, the context of Romans chapter 14 was, there was a discussion, there was argument going on. Could they eat meat that had been offered to idols? And Paul was saying to them, hey, listen, don't be a stumbling block. Edify. And if you, what you are doing is tearing down someone else's faith and is discouraging someone in their walk with God, then follow after things that make for peace and edify one another. You may say, well, I can do this, and this is okay to do, but brethren, if what you're doing discourages another believer in Christ, then may I say to you, we ought to follow after the things that make for peace and the things that edify one another. Let's take our Bibles, go to Romans chapter 15. Would you notice this and what the Bible says here? Notice what it says, verse number 1, Romans 15. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now you know what the emphasis here is? You and I cannot build others up unless we're built up ourselves. You know something? God's word is what builds us up. It is what encourages us. In Acts 20, verse 32, the Bible says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Look here. Do you know ways that we can edify? Share what God has spoken to your heart through the word of God. You know what? That can build people up. You may, maybe at work, you could maybe say, hey, you may be doing a lunch break. And by the way, we should never do something that's dishonest or stealing from our employee, like stealing time to do something spiritual, all right? Make sure that it's on not the company's time, but on your time. But maybe you would say, hey, boy, I read a verse this morning. Can I read it to you? Can I tell you about this verse? God used it to speak to my heart. And I believe God can use it to speak to your heart. You know what that is? Edification. You know what edification is? It's telling someone, well, I've been praying for you, and I'm asking God to do a work in your heart. That's edification. Brethren, all of us need edification. I'm reminded of the story of George Truett. George Truett was a great preacher in Texas of many years gone by. And he was just a wonderful pastor. But his heart was broken one day when he accidentally killed his best friend while they were on a hunting trip. He didn't mean to, But he shot and killed his best friend. In fact, his daughter said that after that, she never heard him laugh after that day. Now, I don't know that that was the right thing to do, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I believe he bore the burden of that. She never heard him laugh after that day. In fact, Truett had a radio program. And after that, when he would come to the close of his radio program, he would say these words: "Be good to everyone, because everyone is having a tough time." You know something? It is easy to come to church and see people put a smile on their face. You have no idea what is going on in their life. You have no idea. You might think of some people like, boy, life must be really easy for them. You have no idea what they're dealing with at home. You have no idea the health issues. You have no idea. That is why, brethren, God has commanded us to edify, to build up one another. Look here. If you're the type of person that you always look for the wrong, what are you doing? You're tearing down. If you always look for something wrong to correct or to criticize, and maybe you think, well, I'm the one who saw it and they need to know it. But wait a minute. Does that build up? Does that encourage? Does that strengthen? Does that lift them up? If you're always, hey, look, I knew a person years ago, not in this church, but they were always going around fixing other men's ties and getting them straightened up, you know, and walking around. Hey, your tie's crooked. Well, I like it crooked, you know. That's what I want to say to them. I put it that way, you know. But can I say something? He did not encourage. He did not build people up. He was always investigating people. Hey, this is wrong. You need to get this, and you need to straighten this out. And hey, there's an error in the bulletin, and this is wrong, and that is wrong. Can I tell you what that is? That's not a spirit of edification. That is a spirit of criticism. It is a spirit of saying, you're wrong and I'm right. Brethren, let us have the spirit of Jesus Christ, which is a spirit. Can you imagine Christ could have corrected people every day of his life? Could he not? Could Jesus not have said, boy, you disciples, you're such foolish men? But no, he took time for them. He was careful with them. They loved him. Could not have Jesus have been such a critical person? And he would have had every right to be critical, because he is God himself. But the children ran to him. You know what? Have you ever thought before? Do you think those children ever got him dirty? I think they did. Do you think they had dirty shoes when they jumped up in his lap? I think so. Do you think their hands, I mean, children's hands are always clean, right? Well, I'm sure they got him dirty and filthy. But Jesus, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You know what Jesus did? Why do you think those children came to him? Because they knew he loved them. And I believe that he built them up. I believe that he said, oh, your life is so precious. God has something special for you. And God did have something special for them. Why do you think those disciples God? Because they knew that he loved them and that he had a plan for their life. Look here, brother, be the man and be the woman that people long to get around. Why? Because they build you up. They strengthen the things in your life. You know something? God knows that we live in a broken world where everything around us calls for selfishness and criticism. We need edification. And let me say this to you. When edification is absent from the life of a church, people will feel unloved, unimportant, useless, and forgotten. God knows that we all are in need of grace-filled reminders throughout our life. The grace of God. I'll get back to when I was there on Monday. There were people that knew me when I was a little kid. And in fact, I told the church on Wednesday, there was a man, his name's Mr. Nicely. And Mr. Nicely was the only man who took me to the principal's office, you know. And he put his arm around me, said, hey, Aaron, how you doing? And we were talking and just enjoying fellowship together. And I said, hey, you know, you're the only guy who took me to principal's office. He said, man, I don't remember that. I said, I remember it, you know, very clearly. And then he said to me, well, why did I take you to the principal's office? I said, because you're just mean. That's what it was, all right? I was a perfect kid. I said, no. I said, I snuck out of class. They were torturing me in there, you know, making me do homework and stuff. And I said, I snuck out of class and went to the gym. I had to practice, you know, I was got a game coming up, you know, it's important stuff. And but he came in there and found me, and he said, come on, Aaron, let's go. I said, but wait a minute. He said, no, come on, Aaron. And it took me to the principal's office, you know. But, you know, we talked about things, and there were people there that said, boy, Aaron, I thank God for what he's done in your life. You know something, they built me up. They encouraged me. And they encouraged me to be faithful and to be steadfast. Look here, we ought to come to church for the purpose of hearing the Word of God and growing in our Christian life, but looking for other people that we can build up and to encourage. Look here, I would not be here today if it were not for men and women at church, at Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, that took an interest in my life and sought to build me up and to encourage me to trust God with my life. Now think of that just for a moment. Think of that. May God help us to live a life of edification. In fact, the great painter Benjamin West was a young boy when one day his mom left and said, I'll be gone. I've just got to go to the store real fast. And left him there with his little sister. Well, while she was gone, he found some paint in the house. That's a blessing, isn't it? And he found some brushes and he found something to paint. And he was painting a picture of his little sister. It looked terrible. And when she got back, paint was on the couch and paint was on the walls and paint was everywhere. And when she came in, she looked at the picture and she said, honey, that is a wonderful picture of your sister. And she kissed her little son, Benjamin. You know what he said? He said, that kiss made me a painter. You know what it was? It was a kiss of building up. It was encouragement. It was strength. It was saying, son, I accept what you have done. And son, I love you and I care for you. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We need people today that are not just saying, hey, I will accept you when you come around to my standard, when you do what I want you to do. No, it is edification. It is that I want you to do what God has called you to do with your life. The spirit of edification. How can we edify? Quickly tonight, number one, use words to edify. Now let me remind you of this. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You know what a child, when they are breached, is? It's dangerous. It can mean death. The child cannot be born breached. But may I say to you, when we are breached in our spirit because of perverse words that we have used, we've caused great harm and great hurt. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, for parents, may I say this to you? Parents, we've got to be careful that we are not just only correcting our children. You know, in fact, sometimes if we're not careful, all we do is find our children doing the wrong thing. You ought to look for them doing the right thing. If they put their shoes on, that's a great job right there, right? You're 17, I'm proud of you, you know, I know. But seriously, parents, we ought to look for ways that we can say, son, I'm proud of you, great job. Honey, I'm proud of you for that. And boy, you're really grown and you're really doing much better. We ought to look for ways that we can give affirmation and we can give encouragement. And if you see your child do something that is right and something that is spiritual, encourage them to say, I'm praying for you. I love you and I'm proud of you and you are wonderful to me and special. Well, I'm telling you something. Kids need that. Can I say something to you, wives? Your husbands need encouragement. The greatest encourager that I have is my wife. No one encourages me quite like her. She knows how to encourage me. She knows how to lift me up. And boy, sometimes as a preacher, you can get pretty low, you know. You can preach a message and think, you know, in the study, that thing lived on you. And in the pulpit, it shriveled up and died on you, you know. And sometimes you can get so discouraged. The pastor always has ideas in his heart and mind. He wants to do so much for God and sometimes things don't happen the way that he wants them to. My wife encourages me. She knows me and she knows how to lift me up. And ladies, encourage your husbands. They bear a burden and a weight. Instead of criticizing and pointing out things that they don't do that you wish they did or wish they'd stop doing, encourage them. Tell them, look here, if you have a faithful husband, tell him, I thank God for you. You're a faithful man. I thank God for your work ethic. I thank God. Look for ways to encourage your husband and build him up. And men, may I say this to you, look for ways to encourage your wife. Look for ways to tell her how much you love her and how much you accept her as she is today, that you accept her, that she is beautiful to you. Thank her for the things that she does. Look for ways to lift him up. Oh, listen, every one of us need encouragement. We need edification. And men, may I say this to you, your wife needs your shoulder and not your mouth. You know, sometimes it's, I had to learn this, and I guess I'm still learning it. Sometimes my wife wants to share things with me, and I want to fix them, you know? Let's get them straightened out, and let's get them taken care of. But so often, she just needs my shoulder and not instruction. You see, use words. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Think of that. God says words get all the way to your bones. Think of that. Thinking of a virtuous woman, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Look here, you know, we ought to learn to say good morning, and we ought to learn to say, things like thank you. Boy, sometimes when I hear thank you, I'm almost surprised. But what a blessing it is. We had our missions conference here, and I'll tell you something, the missions conference, we put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it. But I had someone on the last night say to me, Pastor, thanks for putting this together for our family and for me. And boy, I haven't forgotten it. Because can I say something to you? It was encouraging. It built me up in a sense. It edified me because, you know, sometimes we serve the Lord. And that's why the Bible says that our work is unto the Lord. Our labor is not in vain because, boy, the devil can make you think it's in vain. The devil can make you think you're not making any difference whatsoever. So we need words of edification. Can I say this to you? Look for ways to encourage. Look for ways to build up. Young people, can I tell you this? Your mom and dad need edification. Did you know that? They need words of encouragement. And look, we ought to look for ways as kids to encourage our mom and dad. Write them a note. Thank them. They may have a heart attack, but go see them in the hospital, you know, and all of that. But, you know, young people, you could do so much. Look here, can I just be honest with you? I don't think any parent feels that they're doing everything they need to be doing as a parent. Let's just be honest. I don't think any parent says, well, I'm the right kind of parent. No, I see my mistakes all the time, and I think I should be doing so much more and better for my children and teaching them and training them, and I'll just be honest with you. But you know something? To receive a note or a kind word, thank you, Dad, or thank you, Mom. Mom, tell you something, it does a lot for a parent because it builds them up. Words of edification. Using words, thank you, please. Using words like, boy, that was a great service we had today. Using words of, boy, God spoke to my heart. Thank you, Pastor. Or using words, thank you, honey, for the good meal. It was great. Or using words, Dad, thank you for taking care of everything in the house. And words of encouragement, words of edification. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Look here. Have you ever had a season where you just needed edifying in a greater way? You needed encouragement. You needed lifting up. Oh, God can lead us, by the way, the Spirit of God in us. By the way, what is one of the names of the Spirit of God? He's our Comforter. And brethren, do you know something? When we are filled and controlled with the Spirit of God, I'll tell you what we'll do for other people. We'll comfort them. We'll edify them. We'll build them up. In fact, back in Acts chapter 9, what's the Bible say? That the church had rest because they were edified. They were walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You know where it started? Barnabas. Barnabas started all of that because he said, I'm going to go find Saul, and I'm going to bring him, and I'm going to encourage him, edify him. Use words. Number two, write notes or cards to encourage. You know, I think people still write today. I think we do, you know. We live in an age today where writing is almost a lost art in some ways. But may I say to you, the written note makes a difference. I'm going to be very honest with you, but I'll tell you, when I get a note of encouragement, what a blessing it is. I keep them all, every one of them. I have notes written from all the first time that I was here. You know something? Some of you are, God is using you in a special way. I've gone to the hospital before, or gone to see people after surgery, and they've said to me, so-and-so, I got a note from them, and Pastor, it meant so much to me. You know, it doesn't take long to do that. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that. But I'm going to tell you what it does. It edifies. It builds up. Husbands, write a note to your wife. Encourage her. Tell her how much you love her. Tell her how much you are thankful to God for her. Write her a note. Leave it under some place where she'll find it. Boy, it'll make her day. Ladies, write a note for your husband and put it somewhere where he'll find it. And encourage him, edify him in the Lord. And young people, write a note for your mom and dad. Look here, we're to look for people that we could send notes to and cards to and say, I'm praying for you. It doesn't have to be a long note, but it could be something simple to edify, to build up. Number three, speak well of people in front of others and behind their back as well. Speak well of people. You know what? We ought to really brag on people, edify them, look for the best in people. You know, I believe tonight that we ought to pray and ask God to help us to edify one another, to lift them up. Ask God to give you a heart that loves people and in a sense, a creativity on how to edify them. Look here, it's not just with words, it's not just with notes, but there are ways that you can edify people. Look here, find out what people like, you know? Find out what would encourage them. Find out what would mean something to them. My wife, her name is Joy, and so often ladies in our church will get her things with joy on them, you know? And boy, that means a lot to her. You know why? Because they were thinking of her specifically. Some of you, I know you try to edify me by sending me pictures of empty Chick-fil-A boxes and things like that. And I appreciate the... No, I'm just joking, you know. Some of you, you send me pictures. They'll say, Pastor, just wanted you to see this. And it's a box. It's empty of Chick-fil-A. And they don't even bring me back anything. You know, I like that because... And that does, in a sense, build me up because it encourages my heart. Look for ways to do it. This morning early, I was at the church and I was praying for other pastors. And I choose Sunday to pray for certain people in our church. And I have people kind of marked out in different days. But I pray for preachers. And I sent some text out this morning, just a quick text, you know, to Dave Thomason, my good friend. I said, Dave, I'm praying for you today. Appreciate your friendship and faithfulness. Lord bless you. Just quick. But you know what? That means a lot. And when I get a text from another pastor, it encourages me. It edifies me. We ought to ask God to help us and to guide us. And look here, ask God to bring someone to your mind to encourage. I'll never forget Mrs. Fox. Mike Fox was my youth pastor years ago. And I think Mrs. Fox felt sorry for me. I looked lonely. Maybe I needed help in a big way. But it was at the beginning of a year. And it was the same year that I met my wife-to-be, Joy Smith. But she said, Aaron, this is a new year. It's the first Sunday in the year. And she said, Aaron, I am praying for you that God will give you a wife. I must have been really desperate looking, you know. But I'll tell you something, I've never forgot that. You know why? Because that built me up. She didn't know I was praying and fasting before God, that claiming verses that it is not good for man to be alone and all that. But I'll tell you something, it built me up. It encouraged me. Look here, pray and ask God to put someone on your heart and mind. Look here, none of us know the burdens that we are carrying. You don't know the burdens I bear. You have no idea. But I don't know the burdens you bear. I don't know the times when you cry yourself to sleep. And you don't know the times when I do. You don't know, and I don't know. So you know what? We ought to ask God, the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, to guide us to people and to be kind to one another, to build one another up, not to look for things to criticize about one another, not to look for things that we think are jokes and just, but wait a minute, you have no idea what you have just said. Look, brethren, may God teach us to edify. You know what? We ought to make encouragement a daily discipline in our life. You know what you ought to do? We live in a day where we have things available to us to help us. Maybe put on a calendar that on a certain day, maybe once a month, that you're going to send letters out, or a letter, or a card, or once a week. Or maybe that you're going to contact certain people. May God lead us in this way. I believe that the key is found in Jude chapter 1 and verse 22. And if some have compassion, what does it say? Making a what? Difference. Do you want to be a difference maker in your life? Then the only way that we can do that is to have compassion. Can I say this to you? Find some young person in the church and resolve that you're going to edify them in the Lord. Now, it needs to be appropriate. I had men in our church that resolved to help me and to edify me. They would tell me, Aaron, I'm praying for you. And they would do certain things to edify me and to build me up. I had one man take me to a University of Tennessee Vols football game. You know, you want to talk about some crazy people. Those are fanatics right there. And they paint their trucks orange, you know. I mean, they paint everything orange. If I remember going to that football game, that's the only game I ever went to as a kid, a college game. And he took me to it, took me out to eat. And then he encouraged me and talked to me about living for God. You know what he did? He edified me. He told me about things in his life when he ran from the Lord and how God used things to discipline him. And he said, Aaron, don't make the same mistakes I made. You know what he did? He built me up. He built my faith up in God. Brethren, find some young person. Pray for them, but build them up. You know what? Each last one of us here tonight should say, I'm going to get my eyes off myself, and I'm going to start helping people to strengthen their hand in God. You know what? You may want to open your Bible to a blank page, and you may want to write down people. Start with your family, your children, your spouse, your parents, if they're still living, your family members, but then, you know, write down other people that you can pray for. I had someone this morning just come in my office and say, Pastor, I just want you to know I pray for you. My family and I pray for you every week, every day. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, I need prayer. Boy, you don't know how much the devil gets at the preacher. It's a spiritual warfare. The devil can get the pastor and get everybody in a sense. You see, brethren, well, I need your prayer. I need your edification. I want to edify you and build you up, and I want to encourage you in the Lord. Can you imagine what it would mean if each and every one of us, we were praying for one another, we were working to edify one another and build one another up? This would be a church of great encouragement. The spirit of edification. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. I wonder, has God put someone on your heart right now that you think, boy, I need to edify them? A child, your spouse, a coworker, someone here in our church? Has God put someone on your heart? And I wonder tonight, are we really fulfilling God's command that we are to edify one another? The spirit of edification. Let's bow our heads in prayer.